That's the, it becomes a dynasty of three generations. Three generations in a row becomes a dynasty. You have to know what point that emotion, the emotion takes. That's the point. Okay. V'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. That was very nice, Rabbeinu Yonah over here. On kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim.
Right. Just a little medical...
He goes, yeah, first he goes into... But what's interesting is, I won't go through every word here, but it's like this. In each one of those, he says the different areas, everything you have to do with Shem Shemayim. That's the way it's Achilu Shia Ketzad. He says everything that a person does should be the Shem Shemayim. It should be for the purpose of Avodah Sabare. Okay? Yeah. Now he says like this. He said in each one he has a little interesting thing. He says, Achilu Shia Ketzad, eating and drinking, how is that Shem Shemayim? He says, "Ein tzarach lomar shelo yochal dvar ma'asurim." He doesn't have to tell you that you shouldn't eat things that are asur. Hello, he says, "Af ki yochal v'shasur dvar ma'matorim, v'yaroiv v'tzomei," and he was hungry and thirsty. Im la'nas gufo asa ein zemeshavah. If he did it for his enjoyment, this is not considered praiseworthy. Elim ken yechavin lahashlim tzorche gufo v'sheyochal k'dei chiyuso lavor esboro. That's the only time it's good. Then he goes in Achil Gasa, and he goes into each one. It's like this. He says, yes, we've got chachmei teva, that it's unhealthy to overeat, and therefore the person harms himself. He says, but a tzaddik is ochel esov anafsho. With lahosir haravon, he only wants to remove the hunger. He says, and doing that, he sustains the guf. And Vamaskilim Yavinu. He says, those who have knowledge in this area know that this is true. Now, Hayeshiva Vakimu Valicha Ketzad. He says, how about when a person sits with people and he stands up, he walks, whatever he does, his general, what he does, in other words, recreational activity. How? Ketzad. And Sakhlama Shalom Leishiv Moshev Leitzim. You don't have to tell you that you shouldn't be in a Moshev Leitzim. Shalom Lam Makon Chatoyim. Vishalom Yelech Batas Hashem. Even to sit by the people who are righteous, and to stand in the way of the tzaddikim, be with the tzaddikim, and to go with the advice of those who are considered perfect. He says that the person did that only for his own personal reason. That is not really considered meshulach. Elim kein asla shem shemayim. Shchiva, he says, what about sleeping? Ketzad. Ein tzarach lom bezman shiyoch alasim b'tor b'mitzvos v'mizgar b'shino l'anigas atzmo shein roi laskin. I don't have to tell you that if a person could be learning now and he decides to go to sleep, certainly that's not considered right. Ela filu bizman sheyageya v'tzorach lishan k'dei lanuch miyagiyo in masal anas gufo into meshulach. Says even when the person is exhausted, he says he has to go to sleep. He says if he did it because he wants to enjoy himself, anas gufo, the benefit of enjoying himself physically, he says into meshulach. Elim kein neschavim lahashlim tzorachay gufo k'dei sheyuchal lavor esbaro v'itein. He shouldn't get confused because he's too tired, he should really think properly.
Alright?
Right.
That's
right. That's right. He says, right. He says the same thing with the same thing with intercourse, he says. He says, I don't have to tell you that he shouldn't have intercourse with those arayas that are usher to him. But even in the time when the Torah says that that he should have intercourse, if he did it for his physical enjoyment or to reach his taiva, he says, this is maguna. It's to be looked down upon. V'afilu nischavein k'dei sheyiyu lo bonim sheyishamshu aso v'yemalu es makomo. Even if he does it because he wants to have children that should serve him and should replace him, Yamalos Mekamo, if he doesn't want to leave somebody here, Ein Zem Meshubach. That's a higher level. That's not Maguna. That's true. It's not Maguna. That's true. That's not Maguna. Yeah. There's three levels here. Okay? Ella in king, it's true, there's three levels here. It usually only has two levels.
Why is it
two? Over here, he still gets the Averis, he says, is one, and Taiva is two, and then he has the, for the purpose of having children. A person wants to have a family, wants to have a large family, security, he wants to have a... He feels he's leaving somebody here, he has people to rely upon. So this also... Yeah, this area, you ask me why. He said, well, let's go. Elim ken she'ilo banam lavar samakam baruch ho. She'n schavim l'shamesh mitasuk de l'kayim ha'on ha'mor b'torah. Kodem she'pray eschov al he only does because he has a chiv to do it. Okay. So, and then what is that? Sricha keitzad? He says, certainly you shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. Or nivl sapeh. So, afil l'sapeh b'divrei chachma. He says, even to talk about chachma, tzorach shetia kavanas l'avodas boro. O l'dover ha'mevi l'dei avodaso. So even when where he's talking chachma, he says, so he has to have in mind only one thing, that it should be for avodas boro, over something that brings to it'll lead him to avodas boro. He means here lishma and lo lishma. Okay, now, but what is it? Why is it really when it comes to taivad? Is he has when it comes to tashmish? He has three levels. It's a good question. Yeah, why is it so? What is it?
Well, it could be that area is an area which is
in those cases it ends in mishuvah. Goes among the chacham and for personal motivation, then the mashiach. Or if he goes to sleep because he's exhausted, but he wants to rest, he wants to enjoy himself physically, he wants to feel good. He wants to feel good physically, he wants to be rested. That's Ein Zeh Meshuvah. But over here he says, if he has intercourse with his taiva, he says, Arei Zeh Meguna. It's bad. He says, and if he does it because he wants to have children for security, Then it's Ein Zeh Meshuvah. Interesting. It's an interesting thing. Why is that so, really? Why is that so? When is it considered Meguna? Meguna is considered where the whole purpose, the entire purpose is in general. That's the sole motivation. That's the sole motivation. Where the entire purpose is pleasure. He's completely pleasure-oriented. That's Meguna. Now, with these other things, that's why he has, like, for instance, if a person eats in the... even though he overeats, he still considers it Ein Zeh Meshuvah. The only time is... Right? Where? Right, and what is over here?
Here he just says, l'hanat gufa.
What's the difference? Right? Yeah. That's an approach. I mean, that's an approach. Chazal say that with sexuality, that the more a person is involved, so the less satisfied he becomes. The more involved he gets, so the less satisfied he becomes. That's what Chazal said. So what he's saying is like this. He's saying basically it's like this, that it comes out that the sexual desire is different than any other desire. That in every other desire, there is in the satisfaction, a reduction of the original desire. There is a reduction of the original desire. Whereas with the sexual, on the contrary, the more involved he gets with it, the more desire he has. That's what Chazal says. It's an interesting Chazal, and it's a very, which seems to show something about the nature of a person. Yes? That's what Chazal is saying.
Yeah.
Chazal is saying that that's really the essential point where the essential drive is in that area. And therefore, in that area, if the person does it l'anos gufo, so it's detrimental.
You're doing?
I understand. That's one possible way to understand the Chazal. That's one possible way to understand the Rabbeinu Yonah. In other words, it's a different, since the main, what Chazal is saying, that the main area of Yetzer Hara, and Chazal hold that way, he's straight through. The main area of Yetzer Hara is really the sexual area. That's where the Yetzer Hara essentially resides. And the other is like offshoots. So in that area, if a person is involved, that's why they say, that's why that area is... it never leads to satisfaction, because on the contrary, then it gets stronger and stronger. It gets more control over them. So that area is different than the other. The other areas are offshoot. So therefore, the other areas are not as bad. That's one way to understand it. One way to understand the Chazal. There's another way to understand it also, though. In other words, like this, that the other areas, there is always a side benefit. In other words, he's eating. He's hungry. It's true he's eating for his taiva, but basically he's also eating because he has to sustain himself. Or he's sleeping because it's necessary for him to sleep. So there is some benefit. There is also some benefit from the activity itself. Whereas over here it's pure taiva. Over here it's pure pleasure. In other words, where he's doing it for taiva, there is no other, the action has no other purpose than his taiva. That is midwana. In the other areas, the person is hungry, so he has to eat. So it's true he's satiating himself. But there also is a rational purpose. So what's happening is that along with the rational, he has the taiva reason. So that's not good. That's ein zeh meshubach. But over here, there is nothing that he needs to sustain himself. So it's purely an action of pure absolute taiva. An action of pure absolute taiva is a rei zeh meguna. Even though achila gasa, he doesn't need to eat that much. But still, the action of eating is something which is, in this particular case, he overeats. But the institution of eating, the institution itself, is one which is beneficial for a person. So he thinks that he's involved in the yes, they eat, or he overate. He doesn't consider himself that he's doing an action of pure taiva. Even people that overeat don't consider themselves that they're eating. I mean, it's something which is legitimate. It has legitimate activity. But over here, it's purely taiva. Yes. And that's why he says the lashon la'asik tavasa, because this is purely an act of taiva. That's two possible ways to understand the Rabban Yonah. Either because the nature of the sexual instinct, like Chazal say, that this ain't apotropos l'arayas. I mean, there's many Chazal that arayas is the area where the essence of the Eitzah Hara resides. That's the essential area. So the other areas is ein zeh meshubach. But over here, if he gives in over here and he's completely does for taiva, that's already maguna. That's one possible explanation. And secondly, because in this area psychologically he's directing his energies, he's directing his energies totally for taiva. Whereas in the other areas, he considers himself being involved in an institution which is legitimate also. So he's extending it, but he's basically doesn't. It's not where he has the realization, the personal realization that he's doing an action completely for taiva in the other areas. Whereas over here, that realization has to take place. He has to have that realization. He has to think to himself, I'm doing this completely for taiva. And once he thinks that way and he does that way, then his personality becomes such where he has to. The Gemara says a person doesn't have avera. It's not just that he did the avera, but the avera is nasalo huchalo. It means that becomes his philosophy already. He did the Avera, he recognized that he did something which is pure taiva, and now that's going to be his mode of operation from now on. That's it. Established already a pattern. That's why it's a raising the winner. However, if it's in order to have children to serve him, for his security in his old age, so that already, it's true, that's ain't in the Shubach. Why? Because there is some practical value to that. Not the highest level, but there's a practical value. Could be it's an ego thing. Could be he has to have mishamshim. He wants to have a lot of people serving him. Ego, but there's a practical too. Practical thing too. So if it's a practical thing, so he's involved at least in a legitimate institution. Not the highest level, but it's a legitimate institution. That's why he begs down to these three. But the highest level, of course, is the last level, Shiyil Abonim Oskim Batara. Right? Okay, that's it. Now, yes. In the last one, he says, even to talk in Divrei Chochmah, he says, Kavanasa must be Lavodas Bara. It's an interesting thing. Kavanasa must be Lavodas Bara. That means to say that even in Divrei Chochmah, a person must know, like there's a person must, the Gemara says, an interesting Gemara in Brachas. Gemara in the Afsam, the Gemara says that Ace. Lasos Lashem, it says Hefer Torah Secha. So the Gemara says, then after that the Gemara says that a person, sometimes a person should be machnis, and sometimes he should spread out. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? So the Gemara says, if you're in a door with a Talmid Chacham, Mama, Bitzei Torah, Kanes, it means don't say anything. You're in a door where you see people are being Mabitzei Torah, you're not needed, keep quiet, don't say anything. It says, and if you're in a door where you see that there aren't Mabitzei Torah, so then Pazer, you should do it. Then the Gemara says over there that if there's another Talmid Chacham in the town and he's being Malamed Torah, you shouldn't do it. Shouldn't do it. So the Gemara says, well, of course, if there's another Talmid Chacham that's bigger than you, you shouldn't do it. The Gemara says, no, even if you're both the same, even if they're both equal. Both equal, so you figure, look, why should he? I'm equal to him. The Gemara says, no, you shouldn't be Malamed Torah in that situation. So that's what it means. You see, so divrei chachma. What did you forget? Divrei chachma. It means that divrei chachma, even when a person is involved in divrei chachma, so it's only valuable if he's involved really for the correct purpose. But if he's involved for his own, he has to be under control. If it's satisfying his own emotions, that's Ein Zeh Meshubach. That's Ein Zeh Meshubach. Yeah, the post says, Yesh Mefazer V'Nosav Od. Zimris Adorsh Ein Hater Chaviv Olof Kanes. Dorsh Bar Kapara. Zulas Kivots Kanamino. Basa Deles Gabon Tamon Hevi Gva. In a land where there is nobody there, you should be a Gavra. Amar Abaye Shmamine Basa Dis Gavon Tamon Lo to have a Gvar. So you see, in a land where there is a Talmid Chacham, there shouldn't be a Gavra. Pshita, certainly you should. Lo Nitzrecha Lo B'Sheshneim Shavim, the Gemara says. See? Rashi says, Kanes Ata Lo Titel Sror Aleim. Davzu Lo Kavet Shemayim Hilechos. See, Davzu Lo Kavet Shemayim Hilechos B'Midas HaNova. L'Ksiv Eis Las Lo Hashem Eferet Tarasachem. So sometimes you have to keep quiet. You shouldn't go out and be Marbet Torah. Person, it means to say that Chachma is not just it's not just a matter of Chachma. Once it's Chachma, it's good. Kol Ma'asecha Yilashin Shemayim, Rabbeinu Yonah says, means that that's what's this whole Rabbeinu Yonah really? What he's telling you is this, that it's a very subtle thing. It's a very subtle thing. Don't look at the exterior. Exterior looks very good. He's going among the Chachon. He's talking in Torah. Looks terrific. So Rabbeinu Yonah says no. It's kol ma'asecha. That's what it means. Kol ma'asecha yilashen shemayim. It means l'shen shemayim is a very subtle phenomenon. It means the person has to be completely in control of his emotions, and you can't judge by externals. You can't judge by externals. That's why they say that. I've not learned one time, but Reb Chaim wasn't used to come to Reb Chaim's house. He didn't talk in Torah. Didn't talk in Torah right away. So somebody one time asked him why. So he says that there's a medrash that says that Torah shouldn't be like an older daughter. He says, what does it mean? He says, an older daughter, when somebody comes to the house, the guy pushes her right in front. So he said Talmud Torah, he says you shouldn't right away start peddling Torah. Somebody comes to the house, right away peddling Torah. So Chaim was quiet. Didn't say anything, didn't talk much. And when they went past Tells, So the whole yeshiva came out. They wanted Reb Chaim to say Torah. So he told him he's old and he forgot his Torah. Because Rabbeinu Yonah. That's this Chazal. Even in Divrei Chachma, you have to know when and where. It should not be an instrument for the own individual's gratification. That's Kol Ma'asecha Yilashen Shemayim. That's the whole Rabbeinu Yonah. Even all these words, everyone these says give these cases to show you that it's a subtle matter. Klalo shel dava. Chayav adam losum einov v'libo al drachot. You see? Losum einov v'libo al drachot. A person must put his eyes, his view, and his energies on his ways. V'lishko es kol maso. V'mozne sechol. See? That's the klalo shel dava. The universal principle is that he has to weigh everything with the measuring rod of the sechel, which means that it should be completely a rational decision as to what his activity should be. Okay. That's what Rabbi Yonah had. Alright. Next week we'll take the Rambam's pshat. The Rambam has a very... The Rambam has a similar... Of course, he's similar pshat to Rabbi Yonah. But he has a very interesting principle. It's, if you want to look through beforehand, Perek HaMishi. The fifth Perek in Shmona Pratam. It would be very good if you look it up in advance. The Rambam has some secret there, the Rambam says, that Chazal, he calls it, he says they couldn't have worked this out if it wasn't for Ruach HaLaki, which is called the Ruach HaKadosh. Ruach HaKadosh. People call it Ruach HaKadosh. That's what the Rambam says. Interesting Rambam. I'll take that next. I just want to add one thing. What do you have practically from this member? Practically from this member, you have one thing. You see what he says in the end? He says that you have to weigh up a mosnei asechel. What does that mean? That means if a person is acting spontaneously, he should know right away that he's not doing it. It's impossible. It means that if a person notices that he acts good spontaneously, it's no good. It means he has to go through phenomena where he senses that he wants to do something, and then later upon examination, he retracts. If he undergoes such an experience, then he could be L'shem Shemayim. But he has to undergo that experience. The person doesn't undergo such experiences, but he's L'shem Shemayim naturally, then he should know that he's not involved in this Chazal. Chazal mean that it has to be a phenomenon where he's drawn, but then he pulls back, he weighs it, and he has to undergo that type of experience. It's a separate evaluation experience. As long as he doesn't have such experiences, he has nothing to do with this perfection. That's what it means. Klal shel davar, he has to weigh everything. The most necessary way means a process. You have to take two things, you don't know how they're going to be, and you start weighing them. So that has to be the experience. If you don't have that phenomena, then you're not involved in this perfection. There's one point that we didn't mention, although I mentioned it extensively. I spoke about it extensively in another shiur. And that is that if a person partakes of Hanoah in this world, in order that he should be in the proper state of mind, so that he could best involve himself in the good, that this is considered a good. And you see this idea with regard to Shabbos, because in Shabbos is a mitzvah onig, and onig includes achilu siyah, and also includes Tashmish Hamito. So you see that the whole purpose of Shabbos, as you know, the Ramban and everybody, there's no question about it. In Shabbos is Lashem. Shabbos, the purpose of Shabbos is for the true enjoyment, the enjoyment of Chochmah, the enjoyment of Chochmah Satara. That's really the essence of Shabbos, is Talmud Torah. That's why I mentioned many times the name of the Rav. A person that learns Torah on Shabbos has two mitzvahs: mitzvah of Talmud Torah and mitzvah of Shabbos. So you see, even though Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't mention this openly, I mean, but that's clear, that a person who partakes of Hanoah in order that he should be in the proper frame of mind for the Avodah Hashem, for Lima Torah, that is definitely considered on the highest level. That's considered on the highest level. No question about it. And I spoke about it at length. I'm not going to go into it again. But I spoke about the idea is that Chazal did not believe in asceticism. They were not ascetics. If you read Chazal, you'll see that they believe that a person should partake of Hanoah in this world. And there are many Chazal like that. I mean, many Gemaras that you read through the Ma'is of Chazal and Brachas and Megillah, a lot of Gemaras about Chazal, the way they lived. And the way they did things, it becomes pretty obvious to you that they did believe that a person should partake of Hanas Olam Hazeh, but the purpose of he should be better disposed to Limut. A person is not a malach, and a person must take care of his of himself physically and psychologically, but all for the purpose of of being in a better state of mind so that he could learn Torah. The road is not asceticism. The road is a realistic appreciation, evaluation of the self, and the greatness of Chazal, really. I mean, in one word, the greatness of Chazal is their perspective. Their perspective. I mean, everything has its place. What is wrong in man is compulsions. Compulsions is what destroys man. Compulsive involvement in taivas and things that is not really, that takes him away from his true nature. But the right balance, that's the Rambam's Shvila Zohar. That is what perfection lies. We're going to go into a little more today. But what I wanted to do today was the Rambam says on the Chol Maasecha Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim. So the Rambam says that I explained this already in the fifth parak of the Shmona Prakim. And I think it would be worthwhile for us to go through the fifth parak. It's not too long a parak. To go through the fifth parak. And the Rambam says something very astonishing at the end, and maybe we can understand a little bit of what he means. Now let's start off. Let's go through the parak itself. And it says like this. He says that a person should harness all his energies. All his energies according to thought. According to the essence, I mean, in all the Rishon Rabbeinu, Yona and the Rambam, is always that it should be thought out. That the way, the key, the nucleus around which everything revolves in perfection is Machshava. That's the nucleus. Like he says, the Mosne HaSechel, Rabbeinu Yonah says. And the Rambam says, Roy Lodin L'Shabe Kol Kochos Nafsho Al Piha Machshava K'nfima K'fishe G'damnu B'Perit Shalifnei Zeh. And it says like this, and he should place before his eyes one goal, one purpose. What is that purpose? The purpose is the acquisition of the knowledge of God according to the level that man, that the individual that the individual is capable of. Alright? It says, Kloma, what does it mean? It means Sheyeda also. That he should have knowledge of God. In other words, it is something that is perceived in the intellectual part of a person's nature. That's where the essence lies. And he says, and he should organize all his actions and everything that he does should lead to that one purpose. So that he reaches the level where there isn't among his actions even one action of Atalah. Even one action that he does that doesn't reach this goal. Alright? In other words, he says, we're not, you're right, okay, fine. He says the mashal for this is that when he eats and when he drinks and when he sleeps, and when he has intercourse, when he's up, when he moves, when he rests, and the it should be all for the health of his Brias Gufo Bovad. That it should, all these things that he does should be for the health of his body. Alright? He says, and the objective in the health of his body is so that the soul should find the soul should find all its organs healthy in order that it could use them for arriving at the knowledge of Kinyas HaMailos, HaMidosios, Vagionios, in order that it should reach ethical perfection and logical perfection, in order that it should reach this goal. He says, and in accordance with this way, his objective will never be the pleasure alone, so that when he chooses food or drink, he will not choose that which is sweeter. And also in all his other activities, but his objective should always be to that which is more beneficial. And if it happens that that which is more beneficial also has a good taste, good. But if it should occur that it doesn't taste good, it doesn't matter. It should not deter him. It shouldn't make any difference. If he has the enjoyment, fine. If not, no. He says, or sometimes he has to choose something that's sweet, because of medical knowledge. For instance, he says, let's say, for instance, a person finds that he's weakened and he doesn't have an appetite. So then he says the person has to eat, so health-wise he knows he has to increase his appetite, so then he should eat things that taste good and that are sweet, in order that he should be able to increase his appetite and become more healthy. He says, and also psychologically, if a person should fall into depression, marashkara it's called. Marashkara means depression. You become psychologically depressed. The person is a psychological being, and everybody's subject to depression and elation, different emotional states. So the Rambam says if a person finds that depression has become a very overpowering thing in his life, it's overpowered him, he says then he should listen to music, and he should go take walks in beautiful parks and look at the beautiful scenery and this type of thing. Things that make a person feel psychologically good and take away from him that feeling of desolation. So he says, and the purpose of all this should be in order that he should be sound. And he should be sound physically. By physically he means physically and psychologically. He says, and the purpose again of this physical and psychological well-being is in order that he should know. Today sheyeda. The purpose is that he should have knowledge. He says that and also when a person is involved in the acquisition of properties, acquisition of money, material possessions, he says it shouldn't be that he should just do this in order to purchase certain things, but that he should have a situation where he should be able to establish a situation where he can be able to take care of himself physically and be in the best state so that he could attain the knowledge of God according to the level that it's possible for him. Alright? He says, according to this, he says, it comes out that medicine is a very important thing. He says, the Melechus Arfu is an Indian Rav Ma'od, the Milas of Bidias Hashem. It comes out that medicine, by medicine, of course, the Rambam means holistic medicine. The Rambam doesn't just mean medicine where we have it departmentalized today. It means the knowledge of the whole body and psyche, how it works. Rambam was very holistic. That's all he is. He says that the involvement in this area, the involvement in the psychological and physical well-being, he says, is one of the great avodas. One of the great involvements, one of the most important involvements of man, scientific involvements of man. He says, and this is, you can't equate this science with the science of carpentry or the science of sewing or anything like that. Why? Because this is the area which is more directly related to our actions. And if you're properly involved in this, he says, then it gives our actions the character, the human character, which brings a person to perfection and to the truth. He says, because a person, Ram elaborates like this, says, because of a person, if his approach to food and to drink is only according to the way it tastes, he says, then what happens is like this, that he's drawn after the desires, and he causes himself harm. And it's possible that because of this, he can cause himself a very serious illness, or even total destruction. He says, a person who does that, who lives that kind of a life, that he simply is involved in the in eating because of taivas, he says that person is equal to the exactly equivalent to the animal, to the behemoth. He says, and this is not an action of a man insofar as he is a man, but it's the action of a man insofar as he is a bal chai. Nimshal ka behemos dinu. He's equivalent to the animal. He says, but his action should be on the human level. If he eats only that which is beneficial, and if he leaves that which is tasty, and he eats that which is not tasty, according to the way that is that the benefit, in order to attain the benefit, it is necessary to do. He says, and this is an activity which is in line with thought, with machshava. He says, and with this, a person is separated is differentiated from all the species that are not man. Okay? He says, and the same thing with the sexual involvement. He says, if he isn't concerned about his health, he says, then he's acting like a Baal Chai, and not as an Adam, not as a man. He says, and it's possible that his activity should be always according to the, in line with his objective of the benefit, like we explained. All right? Now, he says like this. He says, but it's it's possible, he says, however, that a person's activities should be in line with the objective, which is health, psychological and physical health, but his objective is that he should be healthy. He should be physically healthy, and he should be devoid of illness. He says, this is not a perfection. Why? Because just like one individual considered superior, the enjoyment, right, that's right. In other words, just like this person considers the greatest benefit to be his health and his psychological well-being, he says, so too, the other person who isn't watching his health, he considers the best thing to be his enjoyment. Enjoyment of food or enjoyment of sex. He says, and in both of these cases, there is no real objective to their actions. All right? So the Rambam says, in other words, a person who is involved in health for health's sake, today's society, like the health kick, so he says, this really is no, he is no different than the person who is a Baal Taira. Because in both cases, their objective is really just the good. The only thing is that one is a better way of achieving it. And really, this is a, the philosophers have already mentioned this concept that there's a strange contradiction among mankind, because people look down at a person who is a Baal Taira. But why do they look down at a person who is a Baal Taira? The average person, they say, look, you're not taking care of your health. So they look down, they say a person who overeats, he's a glutton, he's not taking care of himself. But the truth of the matter is that the whole ethical system, the ethical system really has no basis. No basis whatsoever. Why? Because what they're saying is a contradiction. Let's say a person would say that as he notices that his son is involved, he's lazy, he's involved in typhus, so they'll put him down. Now, why do they put him down? Because they maintain that he's not really acting properly. Why is he not acting properly? Because they're saying that if the way he's acting is going to destroy his body, and he'll never really have enjoyment of life. So what they're saying is that really he's not enough of a Baal Taira. In other words, they're putting the person down. They're putting down the person because he's involved in Taira. But actually what they're saying is he's not involved in Taiva properly. Because the way he's involved in Taiva is going to lead to him getting sick, and it'll curtail his activities of Taiva. So that's why they say that the person shouldn't smoke, he should be careful with his health. Why? It's foolish. Because if you're not careful with your health, you won't be able to have the Taivas properly. So actually what they're complaining about is that the man is not a big enough Baal Taiva. But when they condemn him, there's nothing wrong with that. That's rational. But when they condemn him with an ethical type of a, they say, look, they condemn him, they put him down as if the man is really ethically inferior. See, but on the contrary, what they are trying to promote is a greater involvement in Taiva. So they should really put him down and say that he's not a big enough Baal Taiva. That's what you say. Not that he's a glutton. He's not a big enough glutton. See? So, that's the truth of the matter. In other words, there is no such thing as ethics. That is, there is no. You could tell a person rationally. You could say to a person he's not being rational about his titles, but you can't put him down ethically, because if you're putting him down ethically, you're going to be caught in a contradiction. You're saying that ethically he's not in a high enough level. He's a glutton. No. So what's wrong? What's wrong is he's not going to be able to live long enough to enjoy his gluttony. So he should really perfect himself and become a more calculated glutton. That's the essence of the ethics in the world. That's the contradiction. Yes. The Rambam says, "Ve'ein zu mila." This is not. There is no advantage in that type of an activity. Ein zu mila. Why? Because he says they both, since the objective, insofar as since man's essence, there is an essence to man, and insofar as man's essence is concerned, both of them have missed their goal completely. Have completely missed their goal. One in a more calculated way, one in a less calculated way. But essentially, they both have missed their goal. That's what the Rambam says. That's a good point, ladies and gentlemen. That's true. A person, the one who takes care of himself, could be is in one way in a worse situation, because his whole mind is involved in a goal which is really the goal of the behemoth. Whereas the other person is not involved. You can't say at least the mind is being used. The person uses his mind to kill people, he's also using his mind. Using the mind for evil is the worst possible thing. I mean, he's taking that which should be used for the highest thing and he's using it for the lowest. So on the contrary, what Levi's saying is right. That a person like that is on a lower level because his course is set towards the goof. He's calculated. He's a greater Baltaiva, as we said. He's a greater Baltaiva. He's a higher degree of Baltaiva. That is today's idea of perfection. Today's idea of perfection is precisely that. It's moderation and it's watching a person's health. But what is the end objective? The end objective is the goof. Since the end objective is the goof, it means the person is involved in taiva in a more calculated way. Contrary. The capacity for enjoyment in man is not an evil. The capacity for enjoyment in man is a good, if it's directed properly. But there has to be a capacity for enjoyment. A person can't be constantly thinking. What the Rambam means by his objective, the Rambam does not mean that every minute he has to be thinking of the objective. That's insane. What the Rambam means is that the actions are determined by the objective. That's what it means. He recognizes his nature. He knows that he has a physical self. He knows that he has a psychological self. And he recognizes that he has to satisfy these parts of his nature in order that he should be able to reach the highest level for knowledge. That's what the Rambam says. People have a tendency to consider what they like, their likes and their dislikes, as being superior. That is the good. Most people feel like if they enjoy a certain type of music, that this is the good. And if you don't enjoy that music, yeah, that's not. That's right. Yeah. Because their essence, since their essence are these different predilections. That's the essence of their nature, their likes and dislikes. So therefore, that since that's their essence, so they have to build some type of superiority around that essence. So if they like this type of object, and you don't like this type of object, then you're not in the same league with them. You're different. There's no identification anymore, because that's the essence. They don't look at the enjoyments as just a means. If it's a means, so it depends. It's a very subjective thing. The enjoyments are very subjective, so it depends on depends on the individual's makeup. A lot of factors go into why a person enjoys one thing and not another. It's also a chachma as to why it is that way. And it's worth there's reasons for it. But people tend to assume a certain superiority in their own pleasures, in their own likes and dislikes. That's the, in Kahelis says, when Kahelis talks about the fact that a person has a very temporal existence, so Kahelis says, he talks about the way, dar halech v'dar ba, so he says, that gam, those who passed away many years ago, he says, gam ha'vosam v'sin osam k'vanishkecho. Or exact Russian. That's what he says. He says, they're gone, he says, the mason. We're talking about the mason. The mason are gone, he says, and their likes and dislikes already have passed. It means that all the passionate part of a person's life, what's really the most passionate part of a person's life, is likes and his dislikes. That's the essence of most people's lives. That's their essence. What they hate and what they love. And during their lifetimes, they attach all kinds of importance to this. This is the good thing, and that is a bad thing, and he's a bad person, and this is a good person, and attachments in terms of objects and in terms of friendships is very intense. All revolves around one thing. Avosam v'sinosam. That's what Keller says. That after they die, I mean, the time passes by, the door of halach, and it's gone. He says, and all these intense, passionate emotions are just gone, passed away. So the essence of a person during his lifetime, he raised it to such an objective importance. And the truth of the matter is, it's just a short time, and in terms of the world, it's nothing. It's an overestimation of the person's involvement. That's the way most people's lives are, because most people's lives revolve around one thing. Avos v'sinosam. True. Okay. Now I say like this. He says, but the correct way is that the objective of all this action should be. Ramon speaks very lengthy over here. He says, in order that he should have his health, so then there shouldn't be any obstacles to reaching the ethical perfection and logical perfection. He says, and also, he says, with regard to knowledge, anything that he learns from the sciences. He says, everything that he learns and he studies should be for this one purpose. Kol masher hu mehem derech lo satachos harei eim ala dababa. He says, those things which we know, which are for that objective, reaching the objective of knowledge of God, he says, nothing has to be said about it. He says, but those things which are not directly involved with that goal, for instance, he says, algebraic questions, and questions of hashvos. Hashvos, I assume, means equations. And he says, sifrei tashboros, v'tachbulos, v'ribu b'shelos ha'handoso, m'shicha sakovdom. He's speaking about all the mathematical parts of different parts of mathematics. Algebra is a modern algebra is not that old, only a few centuries. But algebra itself is very old. It was I believe it was the Arabs, I think, were the first ones that worked out algebra. But anyway, he's talking about all these mathematical different mathematical sciences. He says the purpose of the in mathematics, because they enjoy like different algebraic problems, so people can spend their lives in algebra because they enjoy algebra. So there are different many books with algebraic problems, and people enjoy they have an enjoyment of the mathematical problems themselves. He says this is not really an involvement in chachma. Why? Because it's taken away from his goal. The goal is not to be involved in the enjoyment of even in the intellectual sphere, not just to be involved in the enjoyment of the intellect per se. But the purpose is to improve the intellect so he can attain the knowledge of God. That's the purpose. So insofar as it is in line with his purpose, he needs it in order to sharpen his mind, so then it's good. But once he has sharpened his mind, now he has to use his mind to gain more knowledge, so he should gain more knowledge of God. That's the purpose. Okay? This really is the... yes. Meshicha Sakovdom is physics. That's right.
So isn't that itself an involvement knowledge of God?
What? You see... The this is the difference, and this is a problem that we always have. Problem that we have is that the Rambam endorses the knowledge of science, and many people when they read the Rambam, especially in the Mora, so they get the impression that they always ask the same question. They say, "Oh, so great physics professor, that's he's the Rambam's ideal." Doesn't make any sense. The difference between our approach to knowledge, Yadus' approach to knowledge, and the scientific world's approach to knowledge is in one thing. And it's only one thing, but it's a very, very important thing, and it's what really differentiates the scientist from the perfected man of Yadus. And the difference is that the perfected man of Yadus, his involvement in science has one objective. It's knowledge of God. That is the difference. The person studies science just for the sake of science per se. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the perfection of man. Nothing whatsoever. That's the point. And that is the point. It's a difference, kirchog mizrach v'mairov. Tremendous difference. But it's a point which many people don't perceive because it's a subtle one. But it's extremely important. Yes, Allah also. The Rambam, as a matter of fact, himself says so openly in the beginning of the Yesodei Torah. where he mentions that the halacha must come first. He says because with halacha he gains ethical perfection, and also halacha is something which perfects a man ethically, because leida ha'asa v'amutar, which perfects his life, and also which teaches him the true derech ha'machshava, which will permit him to pursue his knowledge of the chachma of God to the greatest degree. That's why halacha comes first. That's why the Rashba said that a person made exera, all thing about studying philosophy. Rashba said that until 25 a person shouldn't study philosophy. So a person should spend those years until he's 25. And Rashba meant until 25. A lot of people don't do that till by the time they're 70. He meant the total involvement, where he really masters halacha, where he has a total mastery of halacha. That's what the Rambam says, that a person is not fit to be mitayel bepardes, to study philosophy, unless he has a very sound grasp of halacha. Halacha is the mainstay. That's the basis. Without halacha, the person can veer in all different directions. So that's why the Rashba made exera like that. The thing is, people have always felt a danger in these areas, because they always felt that if you're going to say, you're going to tell people to study science, what you're doing is you're projecting the image of the scientist as the perfected man. The scientist has nothing to do with the perfected man. The perfected man is on a different course. He may be studying the subjects, the same subjects as the scientist, but his course is a different one. Because in everything that he studies, what he sees is a greater knowledge of the Creator, greater knowledge of God. If that vision is not there, then he's not involved in the perfection. Involved, a person can be a great biologist, know every part of the cell that man knows up to this day. It has nothing to do with perfection, nothing whatsoever. Perfection is where he sees, where he could see the fingerprints of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria. And that, if a person knows what that is, he follows a special course. And that's what the Rambam means. That's the course that the Rambam is talking about. That's the course that the Rambam followed. All right? It's a different course. Different course. He goes, he cuts through subjects in a different way than a person would if he, than the scientist does, or the people that achieve certain intellectual perfection, what they consider intellectual perfection. It's a different kind of intellectual perfection. Different thing altogether. The goal is a different one. Okay. Yeah, then he's like, he says, and also, you have to know what he means by this also. I mean, you can't go on such a course unless you know what he means. You have to know what he means by how knowledge reaches a person to appreciation of God. You have to know what he's talking about. I mean, just to know what he's talking about, you have to be on a level, to know what he means. I mean, there is such a thing, we should know. Okay. Now, I mean, you understand that an average person wouldn't even know what to do. What is he going to study? He doesn't understand what it means. You have to have a knowledge of what the Rambam is talking about. Rambam's, this, just to know how it works, a person has to have tremendous philosophical knowledge in Yadis. So you should know what he's after. Just to find that, just to discover that is a level. But that's a level that you're getting involved already in Maisa Markova in Devar Gadol. And that level is something that a person has to reach by himself. Chazal were very secretive about that. Chazal were very careful about that, because that's a level that's beyond halacha. Halacha is Chazal called Devar Katan. And once a person achieves a certain perfection, he starts seeing the next step. The next step, he's going into a higher area. He's going into Maisa Merkava already. But it's something which Chazal felt has to occur naturally within the person. It's not something that is taught. Not something that is taught or that is allowed to be taught. Because it can't be taught, because the person is on the receiving end. If he has to be taught, then he's not going to understand it. And the danger of having misconceptions in that area is very great. It can lead to disaster. So that's why Chazal said that a person who is approaching that level, when they noticed that somebody was approaching that level, when they saw that a person was approaching that level, they would only give him the Rashi Prakim. Rosh HaPrakim means they give him over certain headings. And then if he discovers what the meaning of those headings are by himself, then it's okay. If he doesn't make that discovery, then you don't tell him. That's the story the Rambam had in his Hagdamah to right, where he says two, they were trading, nice and fellow, nice and gracious, right? So one, two people got together, and one taught the other one Maisa Bereshis, the other one, and then he said to him, he says, okay, now you teach him Maisa Merkava. He said, nope, sorry, can't do it. He says, why? Because he perceived that he wasn't on a level, and he wouldn't do it. It wasn't a fair trade. So the Rambam says, why didn't he do it? He says, it's not because he wanted to withhold knowledge to himself. He says, that's the lowest lowest level. Yeah, a person wants to withhold knowledge. He wants somebody else to have knowledge that he has. It's the lowest level. So he says, the reason is because he perceived in that person that he wasn't on the right level. He couldn't teach him. That's what it is. So with the Rambam, what the Rambam is talking about already is a very high degree. A person knows already what he's looking for. What he's searching for in Yedias Hashem. To know what you're searching for in Yedias Hashem, just that is already a level. When a person perceives what he's searching for in Yedias Hashem, then he's capable of making a move. And as he progresses, he sees, he starts seeing different things, higher and higher, and he starts directing his course more and more towards the goal. See? But it's not there's no simple formula here for it. Something has to come from within the person where he starts perceiving this. Okay. True. On the most basic level, the Rambam is not there. He's not a person on the most basic level is not operating in this framework. He's learning and he's keeping mitzvahs, but if he's as long as he hasn't reached the level of Yedias Hashem, that's not the level the Rambam's talking about. You'll soon see the Rambam says the level I'm talking about is a very high level, and you understand why it is. Let's take let's just go a little further. The Rambam keeps going, yeah? He says, and also when a person speaks. So when a person speaks, when a person talks, he says his whole objective should be to only speak about those things which lead him to that objective. Alright? Or which will remove harm from himself. Or something that will teach him a perfection, an ethical perfection. Or he'll speak about the praise of a specific perfection, or he'll speak about the praise of a great person, or he'll denigrate the bad practice, or a rusher, or an evil person. Why? Because he says, because the denigration of people who are of low esteem and degrading their memory, if the purpose in doing that is to put them down in the eyes of other people so that people should learn from this and they shouldn't follow their actions, this is an obligation and this is considered a perfection to act that way. Alright? He says, you see that the Pasuk says, Kamasa Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtem Bo, Kamasa Eretz Kanaan Lo Sasu. So you see, it's a mitzvah to put down the actions of people who live a low life. And he says, and also the story about Sodom, and all that comes in the Torah about putting down those people who are of inferior level, ethical inferior level, and to degrade their memory, and to praise the tzaddikim and to raise them. He says, all these things in the Torah is only are there for one purpose, in order that people should follow the ways of the tzaddikim and should keep away from the ways of the rishayim. Now he says like this. He says when a person makes this his objective, he says he'll find that he is free from a lot of different activities. He gives the mark of such a person. Such a person will find that he's very free from most of the activities of human beings. In other words, a large segment of human activities will be removed from him. He's not involved in a lot of things. There's many things, he finds himself that he abstains from a lot of different activities. He says, because a person that has this objective will not be moved to embroider the walls with gold, or to wear, to adorn his garments with gold. He says, unless the purpose that he does that is in order that he should make himself feel psychologically better, so that he should feel healthy, and that his mind should be clear to receive knowledge. Just like Chazal say, that Dira Noah, a nice house, and a nice wife, and nice garments, and furniture, all these things, for Talmid HaChachamim, the Gemara says, Machivim Daita Shalada, makes a person feel better. Alright? He says, and because a person's psychological nature is, that if he's living in a bad state, like he's living in a state of poverty, I mean, he's not surrounded by nice things, he says, just like the body becomes ill when it doesn't have what it needs, so also the soul, the psyche, he means over here, also has to have a certain peace, a peace of mind, and it also has to have certain enjoyments. For instance, looking at beautiful things, until he removes from himself a certain type of laos means like a state in which he's dormant, inactive. He says, just like the Gemara says, ki chalshi rabbanu megirsa, when the Chachamim got tired from learning, so they used to say milsa de bichasa, they'd make jokes. See, why do they make jokes? Because person gets tired, chalshi rabbanu megirsa, person's learning, gets exhausted. Chazal got exhausted too. So they make a joke. So it makes the person happy, brings him back psychologically, makes him feel good. He says, this is the way that a person should conduct himself. All right. He says, in that way, a person will. He says, in that way, the involvement and the enjoyments in that way will not be bad. He says. What he means is, in other words, dressing nicely and having a nice home, all these things will not be bad because their purpose and their objective is so they should feel psychologically well. All right? So the Rambam left everybody an out. See, the Rambam really gives the clue. He says the clue is that he will find. The clue really is in this last chapter over here. The clue is that he finds himself devoid of most of the activities of mankind. Most of the activities of mankind. He finds himself devoid, except at certain times where he enjoys, has a certain appreciation of beauty in order to make himself feel psychologically sound. But I want you to understand that it's a different, you see, it sounds the same and it looks the same to the untrained eye, but it is totally different. It is totally different. The difference is the involvement. Of course, everybody goes for himself and telling himself that he's just doing it for the purpose of the soul. But the truth of the matter is, it is obvious from the way the involvement is. You see? The difference, I would say, the difference that characterizes it to the greatest degree is what the Rambam says. The nature and the intensity of the involvement. A person who is interested in material goods for their own sake, there is a certain excitement about the materialism and a certain involvement and a preoccupation with the materialism that is prevalent in that person's nature. So that shows that the goal is not the perfection. Where the Rambam says that the person enjoys nice clothes, and makes him feel good, or his home, it may be the same or a similar object. But the point is you cannot judge it by external. You cannot judge externally. The only way you can judge it is by the internal involvement. In one case, it's a passionate involvement where the person's life depends on it. They must have these things. If they don't have these things, they simply can't function. They'll be completely completely devastated without it. In the other case, the person's enjoying the same thing, but the compulsion is not there. See, there's no compulsiveness in the nature of the enjoyment. It's an enjoyment. His objective is to reach the level of Chochmas Hashem, and he has the appreciation and the enjoyment, but it's without the driving force. That's why the Rambam says that the person will be devoid of many of the activities of mankind. It seems like a contradiction. First he says he'll be devoid, and then he gives you all the things. He says, yeah, you shouldn't be interested in wearing nice clothes and having a... Then he says, no, you should have a nice dirah, a nice wife, nice house, nice clothes, and boy, that's it. I mean, what else is there? That's everybody else is looking for. What's the difference? The answer is, the difference is in the driving force. A subtle difference. In the driving force and the attitude of the person towards these things. That's the difference. A person doesn't get very upset if he loses something which is only a means. Doesn't get very upset about the means. If he needs a piece of paper and he lost it, so get another piece of paper. Not going to go so crazy. But if it's something which he really, which is when you get involved with the end objectives of man, that's when he gets very excited. And he must have it. If he doesn't have it, he's destroyed. He's devastated. See, if there is, in the attitude towards these objects, a sense of devastation if you don't have it, and a sense of compulsion that you must have it, that's the drive. There's a drive there. He has to have this. If that's the way he feels, then he's not involved at all in the perfection. A person that wants to improve his soul, improve himself psychologically so that he can learn better, it's only a means. If he doesn't have it, nishgefel, not the worst thing in the world. It's a take it or leave it attitude, and the nature of the involvement is not of the same character and not of the same intensity. It is totally different. That's what the Rambam says. He finds himself devoid of all the involvements of mankind. Naturally devoid. No compulsion. The intensity isn't there. He does it, but when he's doing it, it's just the pure enjoyment of the object so that he should feel better. He should feel better. A person takes medicine that he should feel better. He doesn't take medicine with excitement. Right? It's a different type of feeling, a different type of approach. That's the difference. It's not the objects, it's the attitude towards the objects. That's the philosophy of Chazal. See, the world could never perceive such a thing. The world, you have the people who go from one extreme to another. Either you have the Balei Taiva, or else you have what they call the so-called saints and the monks. They remove themselves, try to remove, counter those emotions. Both ways are false. Chazal were the ones that laid out the correct, true way for man to live. On the contrary, Ishana, Dirana, Kalina, all these things, very nice. But all these things only have one. The way, the attitude of the person towards these things is not one of excitement, not one of passion. It's one which he does it in order simply that he should feel better. Yes, doesn't have it. It's not the end of the world. It's not something he must have. Doesn't have the same involvement. That's why the Rambam says he finds, because the involvement is so low, it's a low level of emotional involvement, low level of energy is being directed towards these things, he finds that he's very free. He's a very free person. He's punui. He's a very free person. He feels a sense of freedom. A sense of freedom because his energies are not occupied. The mainstream of his energies are not being occupied by these objects. Because the mainstream of his energies are not being occupied by these objects, he has a certain feeling of freedom. Feeling of free energy. Free. You feel a certain... He's punoi. That's the sense. It's a different state of mind in a different sense. A person that has to have these things is chained to them. And he feels, in his relationship to all these things, he can sense that he's overpowered by them, and he senses that he's a slave and a servant to these things. Whereas the perfected man has a feeling of freedom with regard to all these things. He directs his actions. He's a general directing his actions. Takes it at this point, if he has it, doesn't have it, Mishkevel, it goes on. He moves and maneuvers in a very rational way about these things. That's the difference. The difference is a difference in day and night. For appearance's sake, it doesn't look that different. But actually, in terms of the What Chazal got at was the energy level. How much energy is being dispensed towards these things? That's the key. That's really the key to Rambam. That's the difference. That's what the Rambam establishes. The perfected man is more than his Kishkaran. That's the state. It's a very happy state, even though it sounds sad. But it's not really sad. It's a very happy state. A person like Thoreau is an individual who did not reach that level. What he did was, it was a reaction. See, the man, the Chazal's perfected man, doesn't withdraw from society. If you have to withdraw from society, it means that you yourself have certain emotions which disturb you, that in being around other people. In all probability, there are parts of your own nature that are being attracted to something that you don't want, and therefore you withdraw. But that is not the real perfected man. The real perfected man of Chazal walks among the people. He's very much a part of the people. But he is so different from them that he could be in the backwoods. He's in Thoreau's backwoods without going to the woods. That's the difference. But he's there because his nature, and he doesn't have to remove himself from the scene. To remove himself from the scene already means that there's something, some imperfection in him that's causing him, he doesn't want to, that's causing him to remove himself. Yeah. That's right. That's why Nazar's being carbon. That's like a Nazar. Right. And besides, Thoreau's values are not really the right values. Because the more in nature. That's right. People think that the appreciation of nature is a great thing. Appreciation of nature is not really what the Torah really considers greater, the greatest perfection. Look at the Elon. That's the Gaelon. Look at beautiful scenery. You see beautiful mountains. I mean, you have to make a bracha because the person's overcome. He sees these things. So he has to make a bracha, you know, it's my gracious. That's the right thing to do. But that is not the highest level. The greatest beauty is not the beauty of the physical world, but the beauty of the world of Kochma. That's the real scenery is over there. That's the kind of scenery. For that scenery, you don't have to go to a Walden Pond. Thoreau represents an emotional attachment to nature. It's an emotional attachment to nature.
You really appreciate the nature of man.
Actually, it's not the nature of man. Actually, on the contrary, it's on the contrary. It's against civilization. It's against civilization.
That's right.
Exactly. If everybody was like Thoreau, we wouldn't have come too far.
No progress.
It's a different emotion. Nothing emotion. Many different emotions in the world. The only thing you don't find is perfection. Different emotions you find. Vida, you should know. Shehadarga hazu, this level, he dargo givoha ma'od. It's a very high level. The kosha, and very difficult. Just sounds so simple before, huh? Velo yasidua ela ma'atim. And the only ones that will reach this level are very few. Va'achare hachshara rabba ma'od. He says, after tremendous preparation. He says, and if such a person occurs, he says, when, in other words, the existence of such a person, when such a person actually reaches this level, he says, I do not think that he is lower than the Nevi'im. That's what the Rambam says about. Do not think that he's lower than the Nevi'im. He says, in other words, I'm talking about again, he says, that every one of his energies is directed towards one thing, knowledge of God alone. And he doesn't do an action, either great or small, and he doesn't say one word, unless that word or that action brings him to the to this perfection. He says, and he's misbone, he thinks in every single activity that he does, every movement that he makes, and he considers if it brings him to that objective, or if it doesn't bring him to that objective, then that, on that basis, he decides whether to do it or not. He says, and this is what God demands of us. That is what God demands of us. Moshe Ben Say says So what's the pshat? The pshat is that really that shows one of the characteristics of being on that level of things. That when a person's on that level, it's hard for him to recognize how you cannot be on that level. That's what the pasuk says. Moreshim l'kavod. I was also, what do you mean? To him was easy. What it meant was that on his, it's very hard for a person that reaches that level to think of, it seems so simple. When a person reaches that level, the impression that he gets is that it's very simple. It seems very simple, not difficult, but simple. This is simplicity itself. That's the way it is. How could it be simple? He says, yeah. He says, that's what the pasuk says. V'ahavta eser Hashem elokecha, you should love the God your God, v'chol levavecha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol ma'odecha. That's the pasuk. And you know what? I told you what the word ma'odecha means. V'chol nafshecha, you know what it means. What is ma'odecha? The Gemara says it can mean different things. But where does it come from? Ma'od. What does ma'od mean? A lot. Much. It means the area in which a person has the infinite desires. Ma'od. For some people, it could be money. For other people, it could be something else. The world, it could be woods. Whatever it is. Ma'od means that's the emotion. Take on a lot of forms. That's why the Torah didn't give it a specific expression. The Torah didn't use a word for it. He used the word ma'od. Ma'odecha. That which you attach infinite importance to. The area of the infinite emotions. That's the area. If you channel all that energy to God, then you're Mekayim, the Pasuk in Krishna. Yeah. All right? So what I wanted to answer the question I was asked before. The question with this is a qualitative difference. Yes, you see there's a qualitative difference. Why? Because this person is motivated by only one thing. This person is motivated by the knowledge of God. And to be motivated by the knowledge of God is a very high level. It's a very high level. A person cannot start with that level. There's no way about it. There's no question about it. That's why I told you. So Santa says that La'olam Yasakadam Mitzvah Shalolishma. So the Santa says, why is it La'olam? Always? Because it's always. That's the way it has to be. A person starts, it can't be that way. But as he progresses, he starts getting different glimpses of reality, and then he progresses to different levels, and he approaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way it works. But the level that the Rambam is talking about is a qualitatively differentiated level. He's motivated initially by psychological considerations. As a matter of fact, his desire for what he, his distorted idea of the good, is what happens is that he takes the good and he puts it in the framework of his distorted idea of the good. It's like a substitution process in the beginning. In other words, there's not much of a change in the beginning. Actually, what he does is he attaches to all his material desires, he takes Torah and puts it in the same framework, but he substitutes something for it. That's Shelo Lishma. See? Substitutes Torah. He comes to the realization that Torah is the real good, he accepts that idea, but he approaches it in the same way. But as he progresses, he starts seeing that it's a different object, and it requires a different relationship to it, and it's a completely different phenomenon. It's not the same way. A person doesn't acquire Torah like a person acquires material possessions. It's a different type of acquisition. It requires a different type of attitude. It's not even an acquisition in that sense. But initially, you have to reach him psychologically, initially. Okay? But when he reaches that level that the Rambam talks about, that's a completely different level. That's why he says it's a level of Nevi'im. Very, very high level. Sounds simple, but it's very high. Yes. Now the Rambam says like this. He says, the Nevi'im spoke about this level when they said, "Bechol derechecha da'ehu, in all your ways da'ehu, you should know God." Upirshu chachamim, the Chachamim said, "Vamar afilu bedvar avera." Gemara says in Brachos, even a dvar avera, that an avera l'shma, the Gemara says, that that sometimes a person has to perform an avera l'shma because of the benefit that will result from it. Gemara. Yeah, because the benefit of the system, right? Kloma shetasim osa pula tachlis klapei ha'emes. Rafa pi sheyesh bo avera me'ezu b'china shehi. Okay, so it means that at certain times it involves a like what is it? Like, for instance, writing... Yoel Eishes Chavar Keni, Minoshim Ba'olel Tavarech, Tavarach Yoel Eishes Chavar Keni, the case where she had intercourse with Sisera in order to destroy him. It was not Vera Lishma, it was not Vera. It was Lishma. It's B'chol Durachecha Da'el. That means even though she was involved in an Avera, but it means she's involved in an Avera, but the whole involvement was for the purpose of saving Klal Yisrael, and it had nothing to do with any physical enjoyments. That's the level. Okay? He says, B'chol Durachecha Rashi Zafilu La'av Avera. Da'ehu Tein Leiv Im Tzorach Mitzvahu. Says Kigon Elio Bahar Kamel, because he did Elio. You know, had Makav outside the Bumas, but Elio never did it. Why? Because in order to bring Klal Yisrael back. So it means in any situation, in certain situations, B'chol Durachecha Da'ehu means that even though he's involved in a Ma'aseh Avera, but if that Ma'aseh Avera is necessary in order to save Klal Yisrael, so that is a very high level. It means he doesn't partake of the enjoyment of the Avera, but it's done completely for the purpose of Mitzvah.
And Gemara was written down?
What? Gemara is Eis Lassel Hashem Efer Tarasecha. That's the difference.
Even that was a raw show, wasn't it?
Kvar kol ucham aleim ha-shalom kolin yinezeh b'loshna katsa b'yosu shiuchot. Now it's the way it is. The Rambam says after it gets finished. Kvar kol ucham aleim ha-shalom kolin yinezeh b'loshna katsa b'yosu shiuchot liyos. He says Chazal abbreviated this in the most precise language possible. V'kif was inyin hekav shalom ma'od ma'od. He says, and they were able to talk about this in a very, very, very complete way. This is what he says. He says, until when you think about, he says, "Acheratam is boning bekotz osam amilim." When you think about how few words they expressed in this idea, how this idea is really something that is so great and so powerful in its inclusiveness, that so many books were written on this subject matter, and they still didn't completely exhaust the area, the Rambam says. He says, you'll know that without any doubt, this Chazal was said with Ruach HaKodesh. That's what Rambam says. Interesting Rambam. Hu Amram, he says, and when they said in their statement, in this Masechta, V'chol Ma'asecha Yiyu L'Shem Shemayim, that statement includes all of ethics, the Rambam says, in one phrase. He says, and this is what we explain in this parrot. And this is what we, the Rambam concludes, what we felt has to be mentioned over here as an introduction. Okay. So what do you say about that? Interesting Rambam. He says that it's so phenomenal. The statement is so phenomenal, he says, that there's no doubt that this was written with Ruach HaKodesh. You see from this Chazal had Ruach HaKodesh. Interesting thing. Reminds me, the Brisk Rav one time said about the... Brisk Rav wanted to say, yeah, he one time said, if you want to see Ruach HaKodesh, he says, the Rambam's Yad HaChazaka. He says, that is the proof of Ruach HaKodesh. Humanly impossible to... the human mind could never put together such a work. So without Ruach HaKodesh, it cannot have been done. The Rambam says in the Mora Nevuchim that he composed the Mora with the Ruach HaKodesh. The Rambam says, yeah. In the beginning of the Fertochel of the Mora. Just like to define precisely. What precisely, can anyone define, it's a very lengthy description the Rambam gives in this parrot. But the Rambam says Chazal put their finger on it in one sentence. Now, I don't think the Rambam means that they used five words. I don't think that's what he means. What he means is that there's a principle that the Chazal put together here. One principle that defines perfection. What is the principle? What? The principle is like this. It's different than the psychological principle. Psychologists already said that man is guided by one principle. What is the principle psychologists have laid down for man?
Pleasure-unpleasure
principle. That's what they call it. The pleasure-unpleasure principle. Which principle is that? That the Rambam mentioned? The Rambam mentioned. That's the whole first part that it talks about. The person who indulges in taiva. That's what makes his decision. Doesn't matter if it tastes good, I'll eat it. Or even if he says there's an advance, a sophisticated pleasure and pleasure principle, where he avoids certain foods so he could be healthy and be physically, live longer and enjoy, have more enjoyments. That's still the pleasure and pleasure principle. But the Rambam says that in man there's another principle. What is the other principle in man? The perfection, imperfection principle. That principle is what is really in line with man's higher nature. That's what the Rambam says. That's what Chazal pointed to. Kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim means that there is another principle in man. The other principle in man is most people are guided by the pleasure and pleasure principle, or pleasure pain principle. But the higher level, there's a higher level in man. The level that a person can reach, that the Rambam says, like the level of the Nevi'im, where man is above the pleasure-pain principle. What principle is he working under? The perfection-imperfection principle. That principle is the highest level of man. That principle is the principle which is really one that is in line with his true nature. That's when he reaches his true nature. It's attainable. Very few will attain it. The Rambam is very high level. But that principle exists in man. That's what Chazal said in those few words. Kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. All the works of the philosophers that they wrote about, all these things, what is perfection, what is not perfection, it all boils down to one point that Chazal mentioned. Kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. This principle in man. Man can rise above the pleasure-pain principle, and he can be involved in a totally different principle. And that principle draws him and determines his every action. It's not something that could be imposed artificially. I want you to understand that. You can't impose this artificially. The mistake that people make is that they think that they can attain this by just being very careful of everything they do. You can't. Because it's something which stems from the core of his nature. He becomes attached. Just like a person by nature is attached to pleasure, a person can reach a level where he's attached to perfection. And that's what draws him. And since that's what draws him, every action that he does, when the Rambam says every little action that he does is because of this reason, because he wants to attain knowledge of God, the Rambam doesn't mean extreme vigilance, because such vigilance is humanly impossible. It means every action, the person's going to watch a little thing he does, man, it's an impossibility. He'll go crazy. What the Rambam means is that it's a natural result of man reaching that level where he's completely overcome by the knowledge of God, and therefore everything that he does is tied to that principle. That is the ultimate level of man. It's not the level that the psychologists talk about. It's a different level. It's the level of the perfected man of the Yadis. That's what the Rambam says. And Chazal expressed this idea in five words. Kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. That's what the Rambam says. The mistake of a lot of the Balei Musar. The mistake of a lot of the approaches of the Balei Musar. I'm not trying to cast aspersions on any particular individual. The mistake of a lot of the approaches of the Balei Musar was that they thought you can bring this about artificially. They thought that, okay, so now we have to be very careful with every word, be very careful with everything. I'm not saying they shouldn't be careful. But you can't, it has to be done with Chachma. That's like the Rambam says. Everything has to be done with Chachma. Extreme vigilance is not going to give you that type of individual. That type of individual has to emerge naturally from a very carefully planned approach and method of self-improvement and progress. That's what it has to emerge naturally from a carefully thought out plan of how a person should perfect himself. Can't be induced artificially. Can't be imposed upon a person. Everything he's going to do is not going to become a psychic like that. Not going to work. It has to be where he's under the sway. He's under the sway of a different principle, the perfection principle. It's a different principle that he's under the sway of. That's what Chazal said. That's what the Rambam says. They pinpointed it right precisely, right at the core, at the heart of the whole perfection of man. Five words. Okay. that a person, what the Rambam is describing here, is a completely different phenomenon. It is not the same thing as the pleasure principle. As a matter of fact, what I said before is that when people are drawn to Torah, really what draws them to Torah is the pleasure principle. And what they do is they substitute Torah for the other thing in their mind. That is the first level. That's a good level. That's a very good level. But it's only the first step. You have to realize only the first step. The next, if he's successful and he reaches this next step, he'll find that he is in a different frame of mind. It's a completely different phenomenon. It's a completely different psychological phenomenon. It's not the same psychological, it's not the same mentality. It's a different phenomenon. Enjoying Torah is very good. It's a level. A person enjoys Torah, it's a level. But it's not what the Rambam is talking about. I want you to think there's a qualitative difference. What's the difference? I'll describe it this way. That there are certain times that a quantity leads to a certain quality. See? In other words, a person can enjoy a svara. Even a regular person. So he sits down and learns and he enjoys Chachmas Torah. He had a great time, really enjoyed it. That's a high level. That's already on Lishma. He's into Lishma. You see? But there's a difference between an act of enjoying Torah Lishma and being under the sway of a totally different reality. It's a different thing. In other words, it's not that in one case, I can describe it this way. In one case, his goal is still pleasure. He has a pleasure goal.
His episode of Lishma.
But his goal is still pleasure. In the case that the Rambam describes, he has no goal for pleasure. There is no goal. He is overcome by the knowledge of God. Yeah, he's completely overcome and he's drawn like a magnet to involve himself in Chachmas Hashem. He has no aims or goals.
But isn't it because then that becomes such a pleasurable thing that...
The psychologists were wrong for a very simple reason. Because the science of psychology, like all sciences, is only based on the phenomena that they observe. And they can only speak about human nature insofar as they observed it. And since the real breakthrough in psychology came from the observation of neurotics. And since in that class of people you will not find anyone that's b'chol d'rachecha da'ehu, so the phenomena escaped them. You see? And the mistake that they made was that they universalized from the cases that they had. And what they should have said was that this is what we see is prevalent in mankind to a very great degree. That's what they should have said. And the Rambam agrees. What the Rambam says, lo yesigu elamata. But to maintain that that's all there is in life is man guided by the pleasure principle, that is false. And there is no scientific, it's not based on any scientific data. It's based on a conclusion that they drew from the cases, an extrapolation from the cases that they studied, which is false. What they're saying is true in the realm that they observe, yes. But there's another realm they didn't observe. That's the Perek HaChamishi in the Rambam. The question was raised, what if a person feels a strong desire? How do you describe it?
No.
No, very good, very good. Is that a passionate desire to...
No.
Passionate desire to be involved in Torah. Is that the level of B'chol D'Rechecha Da'ehu? It's hard for me to answer in any particular case. The only thing I can tell you is that this level that the Rambam's talking about has to go together with a very high degree of knowledge. So that's why you can know right away, if that high degree of chachma is not there, then that's not it. And that's not it. It's a law amar chassid. This is the level of a chassid that I'm talking about. And law amar chassid is a rule, which means to say that if there isn't a very high degree of chachma there, then you can be sure that any emotional passion that he has is not on that level. Might be a good thing, it can lead him to the good. It's a means, but it's not the level. I would say like this. I would say like this. The difference between, to define the difference in Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam, I would say the following. I would say different framework. The Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about